The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter number 2, text number 22, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 16th, 2009, in Pune, India.
So today, we are blessed by the causeless mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, with the opportunity to study Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, text number 22. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ato vaikavyo nityam bhaktim paramaya mudo Vasudeve Bhagavati kuravanti atma prasadanim Ato vaikavyo nityam bhaktim paramaya mudo Vasudeve Bhagavati kuravanti atma prasadanim. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. Purport. The speciality of devotional service under the personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is specifically mentioned herein. Lord Sri Krishna is the Svayam Rupa personality of Godhead, and all other forms of Godhead, beginning from Sri Baladev, Sankarshan, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Prajumna, and Narayan, and extending into Purusha avatars, Guna avatars, Leela avatars, Yuga avatars, and many other thousands of manifestations of the personality of Godhead, are Lord Sri Krishna's plenary portions and integrated parts. The living entities are separated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is the original form of Godhead, and He is the last word in the transcendence. Thus, He is more attractive to the higher transcendentalists to participate in the eternal pastimes of the Lord. In forms of the personality of Godhead other than Sri Krishna and Baladev, there is no facility for intimate personal contact, as in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord at Rajabhumi. The transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna are not newly accepted as argued by some less intelligent persons. His pastimes are eternal and are manifested in due course once in a day of Brahmaji, as the sun rises on the eastern horizon at the end of every 24 hours. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So, this material world, nasty place, very nasty place. No fit place for a gentleman's residence. Why? Because death is hanging over our heads at every minute, that's why. At any moment, death may come. We don't know. Today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next year, death is hanging over the head. We don't know when death will pounce and pull us out of this prison body. But we are eternal. Death imposes the conception of temporality. So this is not a fit place. It's contradictory to the self. This material world is contradictory to the actual nature of the self. The self is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And this world is the world of temporality, ignorance, and misery. So it's, they don't match. There's an incongruity here between the nature of the self and this world that we're living in. We don't really belong here. So these great transcendentalists, they understood this. And they have taken that pathway which leads them out of this hellish material existence, out of the nightmare of material existence. Why do we say nightmare? Because time is dragging us to the slaughterhouse. We're all being dragged to the slaughterhouse by time. It's not a pleasant thing, actually, to be dragged to the slaughterhouse. But we are. We're being dragged to the slaughterhouse at every minute. So the good news is, it's only a nightmare. All we have to do is wake up. We're dreaming that a tiger is out to devour us. No matter how fast we try to run, the tiger is catching up on us, getting ready to pounce, you see. It's a nightmare. We try to do everything we can to overcome death, but in spite of all of our endeavors, death is catching up with us and sooner or later will pounce on us, you see. But through this wonderful process, practiced by the great transcendentalists, one actually becomes liberated from this condition of birth, death, old age, and disease. One enters into a higher state of consciousness called Krishna consciousness. I think you all heard that term, Krishna consciousness. Yes. That is our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So all you really have to do to become free from all the anxieties of this material existence is become Krishna conscious, as these great transcendentalists have been doing since time immemorial. You cannot measure how long they've been doing it. It's uncountable. So we don't have to blaze any new trails here. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. The trail has already been blazed through the dense, dark, deep ignorance of this material existence. The trail has already been blazed. All we have to do is get on that pathway and follow it to our original home, the supreme destination, the Vaikuntha realm, the spiritual sky. especially those who take to the worship of Krishna and Balaram. They have a facility for intimate personal contact, to achieve a position of intimate personal contact with the pastimes of the Lord in His original abode, Vrajabhumi. Others who worship the Lord with awe and reverence, you see, who don't worship Krishna Balaram, they are not given that facility. The other forms, there's always that awe and reverence maintained. But when we worship Krishna, become devotees of Krishna, then we are allowed to participate in the Lord's intimate pastimes. Just like, let's say you're working at some company, you know, you have some relationship with the boss. You go, you sit in his office. You have a good working relationship with the owner of the company. That's one thing, on the job, you see. But if you have a relationship where you're invited to his home on the weekend, and you go for a picnic with the family, you see, that's a whole other thing. So the other forms of Godhead, all you can do is have that official relationship, like an employee meeting with the owner of the company in his office. But on this path of Krishna bhakti, you have the facility to deepen the sweetness, to increase the rasa, the taste, through intimate personal relationships with Krishna. So this Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta is the greatest contribution of theology, because it gives this way that one can become an intimate associate of the Supreme Person. You won't find this in the Bible or the Quran, in Christianity or Judaism or Islam. This idea of an intimate personal relationship with the Supreme Person, it's not there. Bhagavatam says they do it with great delight. Why? Because it's enlivening to the self. In other words, devotional service is in itself enlivening. You don't need anything else. No, nothing is required except for devotional service. If I'm in the mood of pure devotional service, then I'm completely satisfied in any condition. If I am unmotivated, no material motives for serving Krishna, and I am steadily engaged 24 hours, always engaged in Krishna consciousness, then I will achieve that position of complete total satisfaction, because I'll be reviving my original nature, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. Instead of misidentifying with that self, that so-called self, the false ego, which suffers temporarily ignorance and misery, I will be situated in my original position, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. This Krishna consciousness process is so nice that anyone can do this, whether you're a student, a professional, a business owner, a housewife, whatever you may be. Anyone and everyone in any part of the world can take up these simple principles of Krishna bhakti. Patram pushpam palam tayam. If you will offer me a leaf, a flower, food or water, I will accept it, Krishna says. If you offer it with love. That's right. So, that is the ingredient. That means not that we mechanically do our service. Well, I have to do this. I'm being forced to do this. I'll do it. No. How much I'm fortunate Krishna has blessed me with this opportunity to do this. That's the move. When you have a service to do, you should think, this is causeless mercy. that I've been given the opportunity to do this service. I don't deserve this opportunity. This opportunity to engage in devotional service is a greater opulence than that achieved, that possessed by a non-devotee Brahma who's controlling the whole material world, this whole universe, you see. Each universe has a Brahma. You see. Speaking about engineering, you see, he's the engineer of the universe. So even if we had the position of Brahma, which is the topmost position of control and enjoyment in the material existence, that is nothing compared to the opportunity to engage in devotional service. Why? Because when you absorb yourself in devotional service, Krishna becomes your property. When you totally sell yourself to Krishna, now Krishna, I am owned by you, I am your property. I belong to you. I give up my so-called independence and I fully belong to you. I'm yours. Do with me as you like. When one adopts this mood in full, then Krishna becomes the personal property of his devotee also. He reciprocates. He becomes your personal property. That person who owns and controls the whole existence that all the Brahmas bow down to. He is now your personal property. So that devotional service, as Prabhupada said, nothing to purchase except for Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. So by taking devotional service that I am given and doing it with love, then God actually becomes my personal property. I achieve a position greater than any position in this material existence. So that you are all taking to this process, we are very, very happy to see. The whole world is suffering for a lack of Krishna consciousness. Especially Indians have been ordered by Lord Chaitanya that you make your life perfect. And by becoming Krishna conscious, and then you spread it all over the world, you see. This is real welfare work, you see. To give the knowledge of the self to everyone. Because everyone is the only real cause of suffering in the world is simply ignorance. Even the rich, famous, powerful people, they're miserable. You don't become happy by money, power, or prestige. You become happy by reviving your original spiritual nature. So there is no greater welfare, no greater humanitarian service than spreading this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So requesting you are all educated, intelligent young men. You kindly use these blessings God has given you due to your past pious activities. Kindly utilize these assets that God has given you in His service. This will be the greatest service to India and the greatest service to the whole world. If you will dedicate your life to become purely Krishna conscious and to spread that pure Krishna bhakti all over the world. Now, I am going to open it up for questions soon. So if you have a question, and everyone has paper, if you have any questions, you can write them down now because I'm going to open up for questions soon. They have paper like... If you have a question, write it on a piece of paper and hand it up. Forward it up here. Okay. All right. We find devotees criticizing materialists. How can they do? What does Krishna say? Namang duskritino mudha prapagyante naradama mayaya pahrita jnana asagambhavam ashrita. We don't criticize anyone. If I'm a reporter working for the newspaper and I put an article, so-and-so is guilty of murder, did I criticize him? No. I'm just repeating what the judge said. That's all. They can't sue me because I just reported what the judge said. That's all. So we don't criticize anyone. Who are we to criticize? We can't criticize anyone. We realize we're very imperfect, very fallen. Now we can criticize. But Krishna is criticizing. You're a rascal. You don't surrender to me, you're a rascal. So, and Krishna told, and then we were ordered to, by Lord Chaitanya, to, whatever Krishna says, we should repeat it. So, therefore we say, rascal, rascal, rascal. On the order of Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Krishna said. But of course, at the same time, Prabhupada said, if they're irritated by your preaching, that is your nonsense. You have to do it in such a loving and charming way that people appreciate it. Like Prabhupada told one scientist, you are a rascal, and he appreciated it and said, yes, you're right. So we have to, it's a matter of expertise in preaching. But it's not for the sake of, you know, holier than thou that we criticize someone. A doctor has to criticize you that you have this disease. You're not perfectly healthy. You have something wrong with your body and you need medicine. Is the doctor guilty of criticism? No, it's our duty. We are trained as soul doctors. And we have to point out to people what is the disease in their heart so we can give them the medicine to cure it. It's done out of love. That's the point. If we criticize out of a holier-than-thou attitude, it'll create turmoil. But if in the sake of educating someone, you have to point out their faults, that is not incorrect. That it has to be done in a loving way. As Prabhupada always did everything in pure love. It has to be done like that. And then that preaching will be successful. You are preaching by internet. We are told that internet is Maya. I guess I'm in Maya then. No, not really. No, the internet is full of Maya, that's a fact. Let's see, you're never affected by it from the initial days also. So, no, anything material that can be used in Krishna's service is a mistake to give it up. We are not artificial renunciates. The internet is very popular. Thousands and millions of people are on it and more are joining every day in droves. They are getting connected to the internet all over the world. So it's a very powerful preaching medium. Right now in my e-course, we have over 11,000 people signed up for it all in over 100 countries. And we use it for Krishna. Actually, everything is the energy of Krishna. Even the internet is the energy of Krishna. But we are taking them to a higher level internet. Did you hear about that higher level internet? It's called the Krishna net. We teach everyone how to be online with Krishna 24 hours a day. You see, how do you log in? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when you're connected with Krishna, then you're connected with everything. Just like the internet connects you with so many sites all over the world as soon as you log in, thousands and millions of sites you're connected to. That's nothing compared to the Krishna net, because when you're connected with Krishna, you're connected with everything, even what's happening in the other material universes. You're connected with everything that's going on everywhere, because Krishna is connected with everything. And when you're connected with Krishna, you're connected with everything. So one has to be very careful not to use the internet for sense gratification. It causes some people to fall down, you see. They get on the internet, nobody's around, they think, wow. Yeah, I can try taking in naked women in Google and see what comes up. Talk about suicide. You see? People do that. The internet becomes, people are addicted, there are people who are porno addicts on the internet. It's a very, very destructive thing. So we have to be if we're going to use the internet, we have to be very sober and only use it in Krishna's service, because it's very easy. All kinds of sin is available right there on the internet. grossly disgusting sin is right there, a few keystrokes away. So one has to be very sense-controlled, Goswami, not to misuse a gift that Krishna has given us for preaching. Please share your experience with Srila Prabhupada that inspired you to take up Krishna consciousness. It's to tell a story in full would take, 2 hours. At least 2 hours. I've been giving little bits and pieces of it in different question and answer sessions. I basically understood that when I got to my freshman year in college that I didn't know why I existed. I had to find out why I existed. They're asking me, what do you want to major in, boy? What you going to get your degree in? You're supposed to declare your degree, If I don't even know who I am, how can I declare what my degree is going to be, I went to a liberal arts school where you had, for 2 years, you could just study whatever you wanted. Liberal arts, different things. Philosophy, economics, chemistry. You could study all kinds of things. You didn't have to declare your major until your junior year, the third year. So I went for 2 years and I could never settle on any particular field of study because they didn't tell me who I was. You want to know what I want to major in, what will my degree be in, but I don't even know who I am. So this is an irrelevant question. The college was asking me, what do you want to major in? You haven't told me who I am. See, first tell me who I am, and then ask me, what do you want to major in? Put the horse before the cart, not the cart before the horse. You see? But they couldn't do that. They couldn't tell me why I existed. Couldn't tell me. So I, associating with different students, I heard about the science of self-realization that the yogis, you could achieve samadhi, a state of spiritual trance, ecstatic spiritual trance. So I became very interested. Well, how can I become self-realized? There's Paramahamsa Yogananda. He popularized the term self-realization in America. He wrote a book called Autobiography of a Yogi, which is a very popular book. Of course, he's a Mayavadi. But so anyway, I read his book, and then I signed up for the correspondence course. And they had me staring at a candle. Light a candle in a dark room and sit there and stare at the candle. I was supposed to get spiritual bliss, So ridiculous. I didn't get any, I got no joy out of that course whatsoever until one day I took all those lessons in one hand and a match in the other hand. And then I tasted some bliss from that course. And then Swami Satchitananda came to town. So I went to his discourse and he said, I'm God, you're God, and we're all God. So, I kept searching. And then I heard, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi had something called TM, that you could achieve spiritual enlightenment. So I had to give them the equivalent of 1 month's rent. I had to pay for diksha fee. Can you imagine? It was the equivalent of 1 month's rent I had to pay to get initiated. So they gave me my mantra. I'm not supposed to say it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Aing, 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 aing. So, I was aing-ing my way along and nothing happened. I was still in misery. And they had a special gathering of all the new initiates to get together and discuss, you know, how's it going in your meditation? I went there, and everybody was sitting around, oh, isn't it great? Yeah, it's so ecstatic. And I was going, what's wrong with me? You know? So I gave up that nonsense tea. I didn't know what to do. But some friends invited me to move to Denver. I was in Texas at the time, move up to Colorado. So I moved up there. And there was one friend, one person I very much respected. I thought he was kind of, I really respected him. He was very sober and deep and philosophical. His name was Patrick Dolan. So I very much respected him. I met him in Austin, and just by chance, he was living two blocks away from me in Denver. So I made a relationship with him, and he was very deep and philosophical. In fact, he was a member of what was called the SDS. It was just like during Gandhi's movement, there was different organizations of the youth that were very powerful. So back in the 60s, this was a very powerful organization, the Students for Democratic Society. So he was a member of the SDS. They were engaged in political demonstrations to try to stop the war in Vietnam, pull the U.S. out of that war. And but he wrote a speech that he was going to read to the SDS. He said, actually, if you want to solve the problems, you should chant Hare Krishna. But he was afraid to read it to them. He'd actually written a whole speech advocating that they should chant Hare Krishna mantra if they really want to bring peace to the world. So he had some faith in the holy name, and he actually introduced me to the holy names. One night, he came to my apartment, and he started chanting this mantra, glorifying the great potency of this mantra. And I was very impressed. Now here's something that a person that I deeply respect, he's advocating this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
So I went over to his apartment. What was that mantra you were chanting? And he showed me an article from, it was a popular magazine in that day called the Saturday Evening Post. And there was a whole article about the countercultural youth in San Francisco in the summer of 1967. It was a very famous summer. It was called the Summer of Love. And all the hippies came to San Francisco. And our devotees were very much an integral part of the whole scene, you know, with Harinam, Prasadam distribution. Very integral part of the whole scene. And so he had picked up the Maha Mantra in San Francisco. And anyway, he showed me this article from the Saturday Evening Post about the Summer of Love in San Francisco, and they interviewed the devotees. Hayagriva and Mukunda Maharaj, were interviewed by the Saturday Evening Post. And they told about Swami Bhaktivedanta. And the whole mantra was given. So I wrote it down, and I started chanting it, and I was feeling some great spiritual bliss by chanting Hare Krishna. And then I thought, well, I don't want to be a part of this material world anymore. I want to get totally into the self-realization lifestyle. I don't want anything to do with this material world. So I dropped out of school, and I packed up my belongings and shipped them back to my parents' house. And I was heading out to India to become a holy beggar, sadhu, just like Radha Swami became a sadhu. That was my determination. I would go to India and just become a sadhu, a holy beggar, living by whatever means comes, and my whole life absorbed in self-realization. But then on the way to New York, something inside said, you're going the wrong direction. You're supposed to go to San Francisco. So I went there and I met the devotees. And then over a period of time, it took me a long time because I'd been studying all the Mayavadi books and I thought I was Krishna. So it took me a while to really get humble. I'd been so much puffed up by all the Mayavadi philosophy I'd been studying. And gradually, by the grace of Maya, who was kicking me very heavy, I realized that I had nothing to do except surrender to God. Now, how will I do that? That was my prayer. I was praying, "Dear God, please guide me how I can be your perfect servant." And Krishna, within the heart of His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, inspired him to come to Austin, where I was living, and open a Krishna Conscious Center there. So in this way, I gradually came to this Krishna Conscious movement. Now, in terms of experience with Srila Prabhupada, usually when people ask this question, they're talking about physical meeting with Srila Prabhupada. You see, Vapu Association, Vapu Sangha. But actually, Vani Sangha is more important. I met Prabhupada before I ever saw him. You understand? I surrendered to Srila Prabhupada as my eternal spiritual master, even before I ever laid eyes on him physically. Just by associating with Vishnu Janaswami and the other devotees there in Austin, I became convinced to accept Prabhupada as my eternal shelter and eternally give myself in his service before I even saw him. So that's when I really met Prabhupada. That day, when I accepted Srila Prabhupada into my heart, that's the day I actually met Prabhupada. He took up residence in my heart, and he's been living ever since in my heart. So that's the most significant experience that I've been having constantly with Srila Prabhupada for almost 39 years now. Of course, Krishna gave me the opportunity to have personal association also, which is very nice. Whenever there is the physical presence of the Guru, one should take advantage to render service as much as possible. And Krishna gave me some chance to see Prabhupada, to be with him, to inquire, to ask questions of him, etc. On a few occasions, not so many. Prabhupada didn't have that much association physically with his spiritual master. But yet he associated more intimately with his Guru Maharaj than any of his godbrothers. That's a fact. Because of his dedication to serving the order of his spiritual master. If you want to know the secret of how to become very dear to Guru, then you become totally sold out to executing his instructions. Whether you have his physical presence or not, doesn't matter. Are you dedicated to serving his orders? If you are, then he will reside right there in your heart, and he'll never go away. How to know that we are doing sense gratification or not? Well, that's why we need devotee association. The advanced devotee knows the difference between sense gratification and Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, it's not always clear to us. We may think we're doing devotional service, but it's sense gratification. So we need the association of those who are more experienced to help us and guide us. At our neophyte stage, can we desire to have intimate relationship with Krishna? Of course you can desire it, but don't think you have it yet. That's the main thing. Or is it that we should go on with our practice of devotional service and things will automatically come? Yeah, that's right. Right now, you have to understand that Sri Guru is your... If you think you have an intimate relationship... Just imagine, you think, well, I have an intimate relationship with the President of the United States, Obama. So I'm just going to go to the White House and say... Tell the Secret Service, or what are you doing? I've come to see, this is Sankarshan Das, and I've come to see President Obama. You have no right to go meet with him. You see. So, you have to, but if you know someone who has an intimate connection, then you can get in along with them, you see. If you know someone who hasn't, let's say you know his wife, his wife and you went to the same school together, you were old friends in college days, then it's easy to get in. If you know someone, you see, who knows, who's intimate, who's insider, they can easily get you in. So the spiritual master, he is an insider with Krishna. So, but if we take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Guru, then it's no problem. The Guru, he is connected with Krishna, very closely connected with Krishna. So just by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Guru, automatically we get in with Krishna. But we should never think we can jump over the head of Guru, you see. And take the Guru like a ladder, you know. I climb up on the branch, now I'm up here, I kick away the ladder. That will destroy our spiritual life. We have to always feel humble ourselves as humble servants of the spiritual master. I heard from one of the senior devotees that bhakti is guhyam, secret. Also in Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami said that we should reveal our minds to others. How to understand this? Yes, you should reveal the secret to others. This is a secret that we are meant to broadcast. Secret doesn't mean that you keep it secret. It is a secret. But we are ordered to make this secret public. You're not that body, you're the eternal servant of Krishna. You see. It's secret because people are blind. That's why it's secret. It's not that it's supposed to be kept a secret. That you're not your body, that you're the eternal servant of Krishna. No, we want the whole world to know. Okay, if Krishna has to enjoy he expanded himself as Radharani, and when he wanted to experience the love of Radharani, he became as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Does it mean that the Krishna and Radharani do not exist simultaneously? Well, as I was discussing last night, as soon as you talk about when, you're talking in a way which is implying past, present, and future. In the spiritual world, there's the eternal present. So the fact is that even though Radharani is Krishna's Ladini Shakti, she emanates from him. There was never a time when he was not emanating his Ladini Shakti. Because Krishna always wants to be the enjoyer. Therefore, he's eternally manifesting. Just as, and this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Natvevahang jato nasang natam menamena vajamaripa nachayvanam avishyama sarvivayamatahaparam. If we, the jivas, are eternal, then Radharani isn't? That would be insane. Radharani is also eternal. Just as we are eternal. Someone says, when Krishna wants to enjoy, when is that? It's at every second. There's a verse like that. When Krishna wants to enjoy, he expands from himself as Ladini Shakti. So when is it? Every minute for all of eternity. Krishna is always in that mood of wanting to enjoy. So he's eternally emanating Radharani. They exist simultaneously for all of eternity. Is it necessary for a spiritual master to be a pure devotee? Because it is said that the spiritual master is very dear to Krishna. So does that mean that he must be a pure devotee? In one place, Srila Prabhupada says that there are three different types of devotees. There's the Uttamadikari, Madhyamadikari, and Kanishtadikari. Kanishta is a materialistic devotee, Madhyam is one in the middle, and the Uttama is completely purified, self-realized soul. He says actually a guru can be in any one of these three categories. But he says the disciple should be careful to find a guru who is an Uttamadikari, so that he will not suffer under the insufficient guidance of his spiritual master. So the role of guru can be played by anyone who is faithfully repeating the words they have heard from their spiritual master. Even if he's not completely pure, if what he is presenting is done purely, then he is also qualified to be a spiritual master. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, "I am not perfect, but my perfection is I am repeating what I have heard from the perfect." So even if the spiritual master is not perfect, he is perfect, because he is only repeating that which is coming from Krishna. He doesn't add his own 2 cents worth, 2 paisa worth philosophy to the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. He simply keeps it in its original pure form. We say the karmic reactions of a devotee are personally handled by Krishna. Is it true even for a neophyte, or is it only in the pure state? So, there's 2 different energies. There's the spiritual energy and the material energy. To the extent that we are surrendered to Krishna, to that extent we are under the influence of the spiritual energy. And to the extent that we're not surrendered to Krishna, to that extent we're under the influence of the material energy. So it's a matter of gradually, you know, moving the bar over, you know, from 1% bhakti to 2% bhakti, gradually moving it over. To be handled personally by Krishna, that he will only hand you personally to the extent that you surrendered to him. Only to that extent, not beyond that. Can you tell me something about desire in praying? Desire is natural. You cannot avoid desire. So you have to learn how to desire in such a way that you become happy, you become satisfied. So we pray to be in that mood of properly desiring. And what is that proper desire? Devotional service. Therefore we pray, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see, we desire pure devotional service. That is not a material desire. The jnanis, the impersonalists, they say, I want to become desireless. But they desire impersonal liberation. You see? So they're not able to give up desire. Is that more questions? I better move fast. Okay. I have to give sutra-like answers now. Let's see. I find myself not fit in a mental level to practice Krishna consciousness. My mind is unstable and uncontrolled. What to do? Well, you've realized you're actually in a very good position. You've realized that you're helpless. Now you have to beg for mercy. And Krishna will reciprocate. Thy Acharya prayed, one of our great Acharyas, I think it was Narottam. He said, my dear Lord, you are Patita Pavana, the savior of the most fallen, so you won't find anyone more fallen than me, therefore I'm first in the queue for your mercy. I did not get any spiritual... taste. Little pampering of the eye and love and care of devoted in making me just conscious. What is the cause? Is it due to offenses? Yeah. We're not getting tastes because of offenses. You have to always... you have to try to love and appreciate all the devotees. Even if they're not perfect, you should see what's good in all the devotees and always appreciate the good in others. You only get taste to the extent that you can relish the association of Vaishnavas. Using internet for preaching, isn't that out of the parampara? Parampara. Well, where does it say that in the Bhagavad Gita? You can't use the internet. The internet didn't even exist. The Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Now, Rupa Goswami says that any material thing, it can be used for Krishna, it's a mistake to give it up. While taking the service of leaders, how to inspire others to render a haitaki and a pratyata service to Krishna so that they experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. Be an example of it yourself. That's the key. You have to inspire people by your own example. If you want them to realize Krishna, then you have to realize Krishna yourself and manifest that realization in all your thoughts, words, and deeds 24 hours a day. And then so many people will be inspired by your preaching. How can we develop the enthusiasm for preaching? Try it. You'll like it. Once you get a taste for preaching, you become a preaching addict. You won't be able to stop. Once you get a taste, distributing books, making devotees, giving lectures, all the different things that go on with preaching. Once you get a taste for it, you won't be able to live without it. It becomes more important than eating, actually. You can skip a meal for the sake of preaching. I remember when I was a brahmachari, in those days, the technology was cassette. It had just come on the market, cassette tapes. And now for the first time, this was in 70, about 72 or 73, for the first time you could order a subscription to the latest lectures of Prabhupada. The Bhaktivedanta tape ministry would send them out, you see. And then you could sit there and you could listen to Prabhupada giving the lectures. Wow. So I wanted to hear all these lectures and take notes. But that takes a lot of time to sit down and hear a lecture and take notes from the lecture. But I had so much service to do. Where's the time? But I realized, wait a minute, how badly do I need to eat, really? I would just skip lunch every day. And when everybody else is taking lunch, I'd be there listening to the tapes and taking notes. And I didn't dwindle for lack of eating. But I was able to expand my abilities as a preacher by becoming more and more learned in all the arguments that Prabhupada was using, especially the ones on the morning walks on Venice Beach. We were getting those tapes days after the Prabhupada would give it. It was really the hot off the press nectar. Prabhupada's latest walk, 1 week ago. I mean, it was all this new stuff. We never heard Prabhupada bashing the scientists like that. It was great. So yeah, I mean, I gave up my eating, and I got it. And then they sent me out to the campus to do prasad distribution and preaching to the students, and we made so many devotees on that campus. You see, with little kirtan, prasadam, and preaching, we made so many devotees on that campus. So, and I had all the arguments right from Prabhupada, and I got really addicted to preaching. Okay. Some people preach very mildly and some preach heavily. But which way should, according to time, place, and circumstance? An expert preacher knows when to be heavy and when to be light. You see, that is expert preaching. He knows exactly when to be heavy and when to be light. From chanting, since 1 year, chanting is helping me to develop aversion for sense gratification. Very good. But in spite of all endeavor, when I'm stressed out, in my internet training program, one of my recent broadcast was called Blessed with Stress. So why do you find stress to be something bad? Kunti Devi was praying for stress, for Krishna, give me more stress. It helps me to be better, more Krishna conscious when I'm in stress. So if you should stressed out, if you're in the proper consciousness, stressed out means blessed out. You see? That I have nothing in this material world now that can pull me out of this difficulty. Nothing. All I have is Krishna, you see? So actually being stressed out is a very good opportunity to increase your Krishna consciousness. Take it as a great blessing when you get stressed out. And as soon as you do so, there's stress, then it becomes what is known as stresslessness. I love the way that rhymes, you know. Stresslessness. It's a bona fide word in the unabridged dictionary. Stresslessness. By taking stress as a blessing, then you achieve the state of stresslessness. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma, described by Krishna, Brahma-bhuta stage, is stresslessness, you see. Because you see everything in a transcendental way, and from that position, then you go to pure bhakti. Mad-bhaktim labhate param. So philosophically cultivate the vision of seeing even stress as your greatest friend, you see. And then you'll no longer be stressed out anymore. Lusty thoughts come in, especially when some vulgar pictures are around. I feel like looking to it. I'm not able to understand what I am lacking. You're lacking a higher taste, Prabhu. That's what you're lacking. If you're attracted to the pornography, that means you haven't gotten the higher taste. Because one pure utterance of Krishna has more nectar in it than all of the naked girls in all the planets rolled together, you know, even the apsaras. Just imagine the naked damsels of the heavenly regions. If you had 1,000 of them waiting to enjoy sex with you one evening. See, that's just nothing compared to one pure utterance of Krishna. So a devotee, he's not interested in this sex pleasure anymore, you see. He says, no, I don't need this nonsense. It's just licking a urinal is all it is, you see. Who wants to lick a urinal? It's disgusting. So a devotee has that higher taste, you see. Yam maitanadi grihamedi sukham mitu cham. Therefore, he's not attracted. So if you're having this difficulty, Prabhu, it just means that you haven't gotten the higher taste. You have to find devotees who have the higher taste and serve them with love. And then by their mercy, you will get the higher taste. One thing in Bhagavad Gita that is very confusing is that whatever Krishna speaks condemns, whatever Krishna speaks condemns it. Seems that this is the main reason that there are so many commentaries in Bhagavad Gita. So can't we say that the flow of Bhagavad Gita is only reason for so many commentaries? I don't understand how we can say that whatever Krishna speaks condemns it. Krishna may condemn, say that persons are rascals. He can do like that, but at the same time his mercy is there to save the rascals. I don't quite understand this question. If they want to write it again, clarify their question. Because I don't understand the question, I can't really answer it. Srila Prabhupada told us that a devotee must always try to perceive Krishna in everything for every situation of his life. How to do that? Prabhupada told us, the first lecture I attended of His Divine Grace, that wonderful summer afternoon, on a Sunday, a wonderful, beautiful, sunny Sunday afternoon in Golden Gate Park, the first lecture I ever heard in the physical presence of my beloved eternal spiritual master. He taught us how we can experience Krishna in everything. It was such a wonderful lecture. He said, every day you're drinking water, once, twice, thrice, more than that. I'm going to cash in on this mercy. He said, if every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. He said, to become Krishna conscious is not difficult. It simply requires practice. So he told us, actually, everyone is seeing God at every minute also, because Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun. You see, the sunlight is illuminating. I'm seeing you because the sunlight is bouncing off of you. So actually, I'm seeing Krishna when I'm seeing you. Krishna is the illuminating power that allows me to see you, you see. So actually, you're experiencing Krishna at every minute and everything. It's just a matter of understanding that. And then focusing your vision so you can see him more closely, more closely, more closely. And when you get fully focused, Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shamashunna ramachit jaganasvarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. See, I didn't do that yet. We get personal association of so many great devotees, personally. Still, it is a great struggle to become serious and sincere. Then how people get serious in Krishna consciousness is by connecting via the net. Well, that's a great struggle that I go through. But what I do, in many cases, I just connect them, just like one Mataji was looking for a guru on the internet. And she found me, and she was very impressed by the preaching, and she said, I want to be your disciple. I said, okay, you go to your nearest ISKCON center, and they'll train you how to be a proper disciple. I can't really train someone over the internet how to be a disciple. You know, the practical, hands-on training. You need to have... See, there's three things, gurus, sadhus, and shastra. The sadhu means the ISKCON devotees. So I can't really accept someone as a disciple if it's only by the internet. They have to have some kind of, you know, face-to-face contact with devotees. And then there could be an extreme situation where somebody's 1,000 miles away from any devotee of our movement. And they're really serious and they're willing to do whatever I say. You know, you should rise at this time, you should chant before you eat, and, you know, give them all the details. You know, then we have to consider that such a person, but so far I have never initiated somebody like them. The rules of ISKCON now do allow for a situation where the devotee is away from anybody who can recommend him. You know, usually it's your local ISKCON leaders that you recommend. But there are people in remote corners of the world where there are no ISKCON devotees. So the GVC law prescribes a system where those persons can be initiated. I always just connect them with their local projects. That's all. Get connected with your local project. Become a enthusiastic participant in your local ISKCON temple, and that way you can qualify for diksha. We have heard we have an eternal sarup, or some relation with Lord Krishna in the spiritual world. But Bhakti Singh Krishna consciousness, our relation changed or can become intimate. The spiritual world can be traveled from Vaikuntha to Goloka Vrindavan. Many people think, no, you can't. Your rasa is your rasa and that's it. But you know what, Prabhupada, it's in the Veda base actually. You can send me an email, I'll give you the exact quote. But Prabhupada actually said you can change your rasa. Because there's full freedom in the spiritual world. It's not like, oh, I have to be a flute, but I really wanted to be a gopi. You know? I'm stuck, you know, no upward mobility. Of course, the flute doesn't want to be a gopi. You know why? He thinks, well, the gopis only get Krishna's lips every now and then, but I get his lips all the time. Actually, everyone feels that their rasa is the best. So generally, no devotee thinks of changing his rasa. Everyone feels, my rasa is the best rasa. See, in fact, the bamboos are all standing proud because one of their family members is Krishna's flute. You see? So everybody is in a state of transcendental bliss. No one is thinking, oh, but I'm stuck in this vessel. Why Krishna is being so cruel to me? There's full freedom. But it's not that everybody is a gopi. You could say, well, if there's full freedom, then gopi is the best, then why isn't everyone a gopi? Can you imagine how weird it would be if there was no, if everybody was a gopi? No cows, no calves. Where would you get the milk? No butterflies, no flowers. So actually, everyone will gravitate towards a particular rasa with Krishna and be very, very happy and satisfied in that relationship. That is called svarup. Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Some people say that we also chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. That is also Krishna's mantra. How to say then that Hare Krishna mantra is the highest? We don't say the Hare Krishna mantra is the highest. You know, I'm a Hare Krishna, so I say Hare Krishna mantra is the best because I'm a Hare Krishna. That's called cultism. You know, no. We say Hare Krishna is the best because the Kali Santarana Upanishad says that the Hare Krishna mantra is the most powerful mantra in this age of Kali for self-realization. We don't say it. We simply repeat the verdict of the Kali Santarana Upanishad. Would you kindly share your experience with kirtans? Sometimes kirtans can be the most enlivening. It's just like completely the most heart-melting experience you could ever have, you know, crying in ecstasy, chanting the name. Sometimes it's mechanical. We just have to keep engaging in this kirtan process, and then gradually, it will become the sweetest nectar. I try to think, let me chant kirtan in such a way that the whole world will be attracted to join this kirtan, you see. How can I make, just like in the material world, the Beatles are very popular, you see. Their music attracted millions, still attracts millions and millions of people. They're Beatle fans, you see. But why their music should be the most popular? We should make kirtan so full of joy, so full of nectar that they forget the Beatles. We want to give them this Hare Krishna music. This is where the real nectar is, you see. We should make this kirtan so sweet and so glorious that they all come and join the kirtan, you see. So we can pray to the great acharyas of kirtan, like Narottam Das Thakur, you see, for his blessings, that he can infuse our kirtans with his shakti. You see that everyone can come and be attracted, and their hearts will melt in ecstasy to hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Which ashram is better for one to be engaged in preaching? Well, I'll tell you right now, the best ashram is the one whatever you're in right now. Preach. I mean, from external viewpoint, the sannyasi is, you know, he has the best facility for preaching. And vanaprasthas also, who have no other business except traveling and preaching, they also have a great facility, there's no doubt. And brahmacharis, they also have great facility. Grihastha life, it means there's not so much time for active preaching, although you're supporting the preaching by your example and by your contributions. So the best thing is to, wherever you are right now, use that for preaching, and then Krishna will give you better and better and better facility for preaching. Don't think, well, I'm a married man, I can't preach, or I'm a college student. The point is, wherever you are right now, use it to the fullest extent for preaching. And then Krishna will see, oh, he is using this position 100% for preaching. Now let me give him more facility. Let me see. Whatever facility I have gotten now for preaching, let me maximize it as far as possible. Then Krishna gives more facility, more facility, more facility. You see. We have to think about taking over this planet for Srila Prabhupada, you see. So we want that every devotee should expand and every devotee, every man, woman, and child in this movement should become a powerful, dynamic preacher. So whatever you are now, use it to the fullest extent, and then Krishna will give you better facility, and better facility for preaching. Is Guru eternal? If so, then when somebody goes to the spiritual world, is a disciple somehow connected? The disciple couldn't go. See if I can figure out from the context, even I'm missing some of the words. Is Guru eternal? If so, then when Guru goes, who's going to the spirit? Whose question is it? Is it when the... If so, then Guru goes to the spiritual world, or disciple?
What happens to disciple?
Huh?
Somehow couldn't go next life
accept
another guru, then how to understand
the same guru? Yeah. Well, interesting story in this connection. Everyone has heard, maybe not all, but most of us have heard of Vivalmangala Thakur. You see, he had a guru in his previous lifetime. You know that guru? Somagiri. He was a disciple of Somagiri. And he actually went on, he was almost perfect. He came all the way to the bhava stage. He just is one notch away from prema. He achieved bhava. But he didn't quite make it. He took birth again. So now he's accepting a new guru. You know what happened? You know that prostitute who preached to him, Vivalmangala? You know who that prostitute was, Prabhupada said? She was Somagiri, the guru who came back and became a prostitute. Girlfriend of his disciple to save him. So please, please, please don't put your spiritual master in such a position. It has become your prostitute girlfriend. Make your business to go home, back to God in this lifetime, you see. So the question is, if you don't become perfect, well, it's stated that the spiritual master is obliged to take birth again to save all of his disciples. So then the question is, well, but he was qualified to go back to Godhead. Do you know that the Bhagavatam described that Prahlad Maharaj will simultaneously in the spiritual world and the material world? So it's possible for the spiritual master to be back to home, back to Godhead, and also reappear here to save his disciples who didn't make him. But don't put your spiritual master in that position. He has to take birth again. You see. Does that answer your question? Okay. All right. How can we cultivate the helpless mood? Are you helplessly desiring helplessness? Because when we feel completely helpless, then only we can surrender from our heart. Yeah. I love that song by Narottam Das Thakur in this connection. Prabhupada gave a translation for this song. Very nice. And I put it to music. I put some modern tune for this song by Narottam. Although I've come to this human form, my Lord, I've spent my life uselessly. I did not care for Radha and Krishna, so I swallow poison foolishly, so foolishly. Hare Krishna mantra comes straight from Krishna Loka, but with chanting I have no connection. Day and night I'm burning in this dark world without working to make the correction. No correction. Lord Krishna comes as Sachi's son, Balaram descends as Nitai. By chanting the wretched have all been saved, including Jagai and Madai. Oh my Lord, O son of King Nanda, together with Vrishabhanu's daughter, I've got no shelter but Radha and Krishna. Humbly praise Narottam Das Thakur. So, such songs by our acharyas, they help us to develop this mood, you see. I've got no shelter but Radha and Krishna. I'm just a wretch. I'm drinking poison so foolishly. You see. Even though the greatest blessing has come, I'm rejecting it. You see, these songs by our acharyas, they will help you develop this mood. Okay. Lord Chaitanya does not leave like his devotees getting offended, but due to anartas, we are sometimes envious of devotees, not grossly, but in the mind. I try to see good qualities in devotees, but due to conditioning, I fail many times. How to cultivate this true attitude? It's interesting in this connection. I wasn't finding fault with the devotees. It's maybe slightly different, but I think it'll help shed light on this thing. When Prabhupada was on the planet, everybody wanted to be right there with him. You understand? He was so powerful, Jagat Guru, the savior of the whole universe. Everybody wanted to be with Prabhupada at every minute. But yet, you're out there in your remote temple and you go once a year to sit and hear a lecture, you know, in L.A. or in Los Angeles or something like that. And then the devotees would come through and they'd say, yeah, I was with Prabhupada on a morning walk and he said this to me, he looked at me in this way, and I was going, wow, this is killing me. You know, I was so envious. And I said, you're not supposed to be envious of your God brothers, but it was eating me alive, you know. It was really eating my heart out, this envy. So I said, what to do? I wrote Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I'm envious of my God brothers who get your association so much. How can I get over this envy? And I thought Prabhupada would tell me how to get over the envy. But you know what? He didn't tell me that. He said, transcendental envy means that when you see that others are getting recognized more than you, then you should try harder so that Krishna will notice you also. So if you feel envious that some devotee has such nice qualities better than you, you should just try harder, that's all. And you can develop those qualities too. But there's another angle on it. And that is, this for example, let's say somebody really plays a good madanga, you know, really, really first-class madanga. And you don't know how to play, you can probably can't even hit it and get a good sound out of it, you know. So the envious material mind will think, that devotee must be really puffed up because he plays the madanga so nicely. See? So by thinking like that, you'll never be able to learn how to play madanga. But if you appreciate, oh, that devotee, he must have so much love for Krishna, and he's expressing it through his madanga playing, you see. If you see like that, then what will Krishna do? He will bless you that you can also play Madan Ganeshti. So, the more you can appreciate the good qualities in Vaishnavas, those good qualities will become your property also. That's one of the insider secrets I've learned after 38 years of being a member of this movement. The more you appreciate the good qualities of others, you will get those qualities as your personal property. Okay, these maneuvers here? Okay. What is the most important factor in making other people devotees by preaching? Love. You have to be compassionate. How are you going to connect with each individual person? It depends on that person's mentality. There's no stereotype way of convincing someone to take up Krishna consciousness. The formula is you have to be compassionate. That's the formula. Our book distributors, our really good book distributors, don't have one particular line. They say according to that individual person, what will convince that person with his particular mindset to take the book? Questions, in our life, how can we cultivate the helpless mood? Because when we feel completely helpless, I've already did this one. As His Grace, Radhanathaswami, has traveled all over the world, at last He found Krishna consciousness' perfect path. So should we do the same? Well, are you prepared to hitchhike from France to India? After I read that book, I was thinking that this Radhanathaswami, he is also my guru. I was so impressed by the way it really touched my heart. I was really, really inspired by his wonderful book. What a dear, dear godbrother. And the fact that that I have some personal relationship with him, I take it as a very rare treasure to have such a great sadhu as one of my personal friends. I feel very, very grateful to know Radhanathaswami and to be able to, he wrote his story of how he came to Krishna consciousness so wonderfully with all the details. It's an amazing story. So, you have to think of what would Radhanathaswami want me to do? Would he want me to go off to the Himalayas? No. He would want you to stay right here and follow the instructions of his representatives. You don't have to find God doesn't require you to go wandering here and there all over the planet Earth. Simply you have to connect. Krishna is within your heart. You just have to connect with him through the process given by Srila Prabhupada. I try to impress devotees rather than pleasing them. Wait a minute, what does that mean? Oh, you want to show how great you are. Yeah. How to overcome this impressing mentality. There are many devotees in our movement who did very impressive things. They became big leaders, they organized huge projects, and now they're gone from this movement. They impressed us very much by their success. So many temples opened, so many books distributed, so many disciples made. We were very impressed. But now they're in Maya. But the ones who actually knows how to please the devotees, you see, they will never fall down. So without understanding, you have to always try to be the humble servant of the devotees, not to show that you're Mr. Hot stuff to all the devotees. I find Krishna consciousness boring sometimes. I feel I just can't continue any permanent solution. I very thank you for this honest question. We all had laughed, but actually it's a very important thing. He's revealing his heart. The turmoil he's going through to conquer over the false ego. So I appreciate the sincerity of this question. This devotee is very sincere to ask a question like this. I applaud him for this sincerity. The Krishna consciousness is not boring. If you're finding it to be boring, it means that what you think is your Krishna consciousness is not. It's a shadow of Krishna consciousness. Actual Krishna consciousness is oozing with unlimited nectar at every minute. So just understand that what you find boring is your own misconception of what is Krishna consciousness. So you have to read Prabhupada's books, hear lectures, study the philosophy so you actually understand what is Krishna consciousness. And then you realize it's oozing with unlimited nectar at every second. Sometimes we experience that there's a very special liking of some material thing, and it is likely that you can go to that thing because it is very attractive. How to avoid that? If you're materially attracted, how do you get over it? Well, you just have to be attracted to Krishna. You have to somehow become attracted to Krishna, because when you're attracted to Krishna, no material thing will be able to pull you away. When should one think and desire to get initiated? What are some of the symptoms? Is there any age after which is one can get initiated in ISKCON? Young children should wait till they're a little bit mature. Some man wrote me the other day. His son and daughter want to become my disciples. The boy was only 10 years old. So I checked with my GBC advisor, and he said, tell him to wait till the boy is 13 or 14 before giving an initiation. So, yeah, at a certain age, you know, one has to understand the commitment you're making. It has to be mature enough to understand I'm making it, what it means, a lifetime commitment, an eternal commitment. Just some child who doesn't really is not mature enough to understand what it means to surrender to a spiritual master. He's not old enough yet. But I see that all of you are more than 13. You look like you're all more than 13 or 14 years old. So, for you, Rupa Goswami says, Adao Gurashrayam. The very first principle is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. It's the first thing. Adao means in the beginning. Adao Gurashrayam. So it also is advised you should study the guru for some time to make sure he's not a charlatan, that he's actually bona fide. And practically speaking, whatever your local program is, that you follow. In ISKCON, the local authorities set up their system of how they recommend people. You can't get initiated until you're recommended. So whatever system they have devised is most practical at that particular temple. That's what you have to plug into. How to remove desires of name, fame, glory from our heart. Actually, we should desire to become glorious, but not that we want to be recognized for it. That's it. Silent worker, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada also said, you're always saying all glories to Srila Prabhupada, why don't you become glorious? In other words, the more that we become glorious or purified in our Krishna consciousness, the more people appreciate this movement. You are a fruit of this movement. So if you become glorious and you have a glorious, pure bhakti consciousness that you emanate 24 hours a day, then you're doing a great service for this mission. By that glorious consciousness that you have cultivated. But it's not that one wants recognition. The recognition will come anyway. Those who are greedy for recognition, they won't be recognized very much. Those who don't want it, they get the most recognition. My godbrother, Hari Vilas Prabhu, he was the president of our Paris temple. And Prabhupada came to Paris. So he came in a little late. The room was packed with the devotees. So he's thinking, well, I'm the president, I should be sitting at right by Prabhupada. So he had all the devotees move over, you know, move aside, let me through. And he barged his way up, and he sat down at Prabhupada's, right by Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't even look at him, didn't even acknowledge that he was there. And then Prabhupada said, who is translating the books into French? And there was some devotee way in the back of the room. And Prabhupada, he gave all recognition to that devotee who was sitting in the back of the room. He completely ignored the temple president who was sitting up front. So, in Hari Vilas, Prabhu realized what a fool he had been. He desired that recognition. Because he desired the recognition, he got zero recognition. Very cold. Prabhupada gave him the, what we call the cold shoulder in America. You got the cold shoulder from Prabhupada. You want to be recognized, or you get a cold shoulder. The devotee wasn't even hankering for recognition. He got all the recognition, you see. From this way. Recognition will come automatically. Don't run after it. Just become glorious Vaishnava by always being in the mood of serving Krishna with love. I read in one of Srila Prabhupada's books, intelligent person is one who inquires and clarifies doubts, but I don't get any questions. Is it not that I have under... You just got one. Congratulations, you just came up with a question. That's good. I have understood everything in lecture. Please guide me. Actually, this devotee is in a good consciousness. Prabhupada, even though Krishna says you should inquire from the spiritual master, he had only one question of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and that was, how can I serve you? You see. So if you have no other question, simply say, Guru Maharaj, how can I best serve your mission? How to make sure we do not sleep during chanting. Stand up! Are all spiritual masters or gurus nitya siddhas in the spiritual world? Whether they are or whether they are not, ultimately they all are. Because once one enters into one's eternal relationship with Krishna, there's no... Because it's the eternal, the spiritual world is the eternal present. There will be no time when they were not with Krishna. That's what it means to be nitya siddha. So even if your guru was a nitya buddha who became a nitya siddha, that nitya buddha is completely wiped out by his complete surrender at Krishna's lotus feet. So ultimately, all gurus are nitya siddhas. Even if they were a nitya buddha who became saved by a nitya siddha, they also become nitya siddha. How to gain determination? I face a great difficulty to get up in the morning. Please help. Well, I've given one tip I have. You know, if you're living in the brahmacharya ashram, there's no problem. You see. Devotees will make sure you're up. But if you're living at home and you have nobody to wake you up, and the rest of the family's sleeping, you see, how will you do it? Well, don't put the alarm clock by your bed. Put it on the other side of the room. And if that still doesn't work, have one alarm clock that goes off at 4 a.m. and then have another one that goes off at 4:01 a.m. on the other side of the room. In other words, you just make sure that you're going to get up. If one alarm clock doesn't do it, use two alarm clocks. If two doesn't work, use three. And this way you'll get up. Vedas say that there is only one source of light in the entire material world, the sun. Scientists have found out that many suns emanating light called stars. Doesn't it put a question mark in the authority of the Vedas? No, it puts a question mark in the authority of the scientists. Okay. It is said that you can give Krishna consciousness if you have it, but I myself am not following properly. Should I go for preaching? If you go out and chant the holy names and distribute Prabhupada's books, Even if you're not perfect yourself, you'll be giving the perfect thing. So yes, you should go out. The preaching itself, by preaching, you will become qualified to preach. Even if you're not qualified, the preaching itself is purifying and you will be qualified by the preaching. Is preaching going to help me in becoming serious? Or after being sincere, I should go out to preaching? I just answer that, yeah. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnina. How to apply it in our practical life. It's stated that you should wear it around your neck. Not physically necessarily, but in your consciousness. You should always keep this. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnina. I should be more tolerant than a tree. I should be ready to offer all respect to others. Consider myself lower than the straw on the street. Remind yourself of this. Always remind yourself of this. Can you please share one Krishna pastime from Vrindavan? Just little tidbits I can give. Just imagine how much the cowherd boys are enamored with Krishna. You see. They come back every day after seeing Krishna kill all these demons, and they tell the mothers, Mataji, You won't believe what happened today in Vrindavan Forest. This big demon came and Krishna killed him. The mother's saying, oh yeah, these boys, they make up all these tall tales about Krishna. So, in this way, you see, there's amazing things going on in Vrindavan. The beauty of Vrindavan is that it's happening right now and you can actually go to Vrindavan. I very much like meditating on Vrindavan. I just came from there. And every morning I would sing this song. It's Prabhupada introduced this song to us. It's so nice. I'm not going to do the whole song. But it's so nice thing to meditate on Vrindavan. Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan Keshi Gautavam Sivata Dvadashakanam Jahasambalila Koilo Srinanda Nandan Srinanda Jashoda Jaya Jaya Gopagam Sri Damadi Jaya Jaya Dhenu Vatsagan Jaya Vrishabhanu Jaya Kirti Dasundari Jaya Purnamasi Jaya Abhira Nagari Jaya Jaya Gopishvara Vrindavana Maharsh Jaya Jaya Krishna Saka Batu Dvija Raj Jaya Dvija Patni Jaya Naga Kanya Gan Bhakti Te Jahara Pailo Govinda Charan Shri Rasa Mandala Jaya Jaya Radha Sham Jaya Jaya Rasa Leela Sarva Manoram Jaya Jaya Ujvala Rasa Sarva Rasa Sar Parakiya Bhavijaha Brajete Prachar Shri Janava Pada Padma Kariya Smaran Dina Krishna Dasa Kohe Nama Sankirtan. So, all the pastimes of Krishna, they are contained in this beautiful, beautiful song. So anytime you want to relish the holy Vrindavan Dham, you can simply sing this song. I find there's different tunes for different times of the day. When you're actually out on Parikrama, there's another tune. Jayaran, more like a walking tune. Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan. There's many different melodies you can use. Here's another one. Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Kalindi Jamuna Jaya Jaya Mahavan. So anytime you want to taste the nectar of Vrindavan Leela, this song is perfect. Coming right from Prabhupada. Actually, when I just left Vrindavan, I put on my headset and I listened to Prabhupada singing, and it was so sweet. Now Prabhupada is worshiping the Dham, the personalities, and the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. How to be grateful in all circumstances. You have to see that the merciful hand of Krishna is always there at every minute, blessing. You have to see, how am I being blessed by Krishna by this particular circumstance I'm finding myself in right now? Krishna is blessing us at every minute. We just have to see how He is blessing. The mind finds so many faults that we have to rise to the level of seeing through the eyes of the scripture. Then we'll naturally be grateful for everything. When we see love and care between devotees, we feel we are advancing very quickly in Krishna consciousness. But when the devotees are chastising and other senior devotees forcing juniors to do some service. Without their interest, we feel that this is not that thought of the spiritual world, and we are not connecting, we're falling down in Krishna consciousness. I think I understand the gist of it. You have to see how the hand of Krishna is always acting. You have to understand the hand of Krishna is always acting, and you have to try to connect with this. You may say, well, the way I was asked to do this service, it wasn't very proper. I think they should be more respectful to me, the way they asked me to do the service. But That means we're thinking I'm the center. We have to see Krishna as the center. We have to see how will Krishna be pleased. To always see how will Krishna be pleased. And not only when we are in that mentality can we be pleased. And you explain the difference between realization and getting lessons from the incidents of our life. Actually, those are realizations. When you learn from experience, you're realizing things about what works and what doesn't work on the pathway back to home, back to Godhead. Those are very good realizations. When does a spiritual master something his disciple? What is that word? Spiritual master.
When does the spiritual master leave his disciple? Leaves.
What?
When does spiritual master leave his disciple?
What is disciple?
Leaves.
Leaves?
Rejects.
Oh, rejects. Yeah, the spiritual master never wants to reject anyone, but if one rejects the spiritual master, then you're automatically rejected. I mean, I've heard Prabhupada rejected, one of my godmen. He was so critical. In the old days of movement, the GBC were considered, they were worshipable, you know. And this boy, he was criticizing the GBC. He's the first one I ever heard say anything negative against the GBC. He said, GBC means got a big chip. Chip on the shoulder attitude means a negative attitude. So he said, GBC means got a big chip. So he was criticizing the GBC in this way. And he went for a meeting with Prabhupada. And it's an interesting thing. Prabhupada, they were keeping mustaches at the time, him and his friend. And when they were told that you shouldn't keep the mustache, they were arguing, but they saw Prabhupada's picture with a mustache when he was a businessman. And they raised this point with Prabhupada, that Prabhupada, you were keeping mustache, so what's wrong if we have mustache? Prabhupada said, that was before my diksha. So actually, somebody's house order to think, I can keep a mustache now, I'm house order, but actually initiates, no initiate should be wearing mustache. Prabhupada very clearly stated this in Los Angeles. No initiate devotee should be wearing mustache. Prabhupada wearing that clean face, you see. So anyway, they were finding so many faults. And I was actually shocked that Prabhupada was so strong. You know what Prabhupada told his disciple? He was finding so many faults with this guy. Prabhupada said, just go earn money and enjoy. That's the order he got from Prabhupada. Go earn money and enjoy. In other words, get out of here. It happens sometimes. You become so offensive, you can't take any instructions, even directly from your spiritual master. He could tell you, all right, then go. Get out. Prabhupada told it that one. So we have to be, we shouldn't think we can do anything and everything and be welcome in the presence of the spiritual master. We have to understand, I have to come to a certain standard of behavior to be allowed in his presence. Otherwise, I'll just be told to get out. Draupadi addresses Duryodhana as blind son of the blind father. How addressing senior member of a family is a blind person justified because Draupadi is a great devotee. A preacher can say anything even beyond ordinary morality. Someone who is preaching, they can violate the ordinary morality. But someone who's not a devotee, they have to follow strictly the ordinary morality. Of course, a preacher will try to follow the ordinary morality as far as possible. But sometimes for preaching, it's necessary to go beyond the ordinary morality. Sometimes it's necessary. If one stays connected to ISKCON, following all the rules, is guaranteed he goes back to Godhead? Yes, of course. But how long it will take, that's up to you. Okay. What is the meaning of these sentences? Krishna is the taste of the water. Krishna is the lion among animals, Krishna is light of the sun and the moon. These are all manifestations of Krishna. That's what it means. Krishna is manifested in all these different ways. That's what it means. These sentences give impersonal ideas about Krishna. Krishna has both aspects. Krishna doesn't have his impersonal aspect, no. He has the personal and the impersonal aspect. No more questions. Do you have any more? That's it. We're going to put a stop on it now. What's in the hand will be in. These sentences give impersonal ideas about Krishna, but Krishna, that Krishna is a taste, Krishna is light. Prabhuji, please tell what is the proper understanding of these sentences. As I was just saying, the impersonal aspect is there in Krishna, but that is subordinate to the personal aspect. We don't deny the impersonal aspect of God. But we understand Brahmano Pratishtaham, I am the source of that impersonal aspect. I like the process of Krishna consciousness, like to be with devotees, I aspire for Brahmachari Ashram because I am frustrated with artificial material life, but I don't have that desire for initiation, not even for preaching, please God. Just stay around, it'll all happen, of course. Vani association is greater than Vapu. Does it mean that those devotees who are reading Srila Prabhupada's books are as fortunate as Srila Prabhupada's disciples? No. You're more fortunate. Prabhupada said the grandfather is more affectionate than the father. So, when you have Prabhupada as your grandfather guru, you see, the father, he's very strict sometimes, chastising the son, but the grandfather, he's always just bestowing affection upon the grandchildren, you see. He leaves the chastisement up to the direct father, and he just gives all love and affection. So, actually, to be the grand disciple of Prabhupada is more fortunate than to be the disciple. So many devotees, Prabhupada appears to them. Grand disciples, Prabhupada appears in their dreams. I've heard so many just endless stories of how they were blessed by Prabhupada in different ways, you see. Okay, that's the end. So we appreciate very much to see how you intelligent young boys are taking an interest in this sublime process given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the true essence of your Indian civilization. The Indian culture at one time ruled the entire planet. The Indian kings ruled the entire planet for thousands and millions of years. Prabhupada did a calculation, actually, from the beginning of Satya Yuga all the way up to the Kali Yuga. If you add up all the numbers, you see, what does it come to? Any mathematical whizzes? 864,000 plus 1,296,000 plus 1,728,000. I think that's the number. You add those three numbers, the Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwarpa Yuga. That's how long the Indian kings were ruling the universe, or this planet. So, just consider the position that India, it's only just practically yesterday that somehow India lost that leadership of the world, you see. India was the leading, for thousands of millions of years, was the leading cultural influence on this planet. So now you have the greatest opportunity to restore India to her former glory by making India Krishna conscious and then attracting the whole world to Krishna consciousness. Still, so many young spiritual seekers from all over the world come to India, you see. You see them with their backpacks going to this holy place and that holy place, you see. Spiritual hitchhikers, you see, looking for spiritual enlightenment. It's still there. They come from all over the world. So you have the greatest culture, Indian culture. So now you take it very seriously, according to the great acharyas, who guided the Vedic civilization for thousands and millions of years. Become perfect in Krishna consciousness and give this blessing to everyone. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. And now, a special treat.
For distribution.
For hands? Okay. Yeah. Now we have a special treat. Our little Radha-Damodar deities have... We've been offering prasadam to them for many days, and now we have all of this maha, Radha-Damodar maha. And we're going to distribute to you. But this one's really hard to break. Now I can break it this way. Okay, everyone come and get your maha prasadam. You start breaking everything up. Because it's going to be crazy otherwise.
Okay, go ahead and walk.
Thank you.